Well, what a wonderful reading, and what a wonderful day that we have. It feels like the whole of creation is joining in the praise of God today, doesn't it? It does anyway, but it feels really wonderful today that we can come together. I don't know if you like a mystery play, something that's mysterious, or something like onto the television that's got a mystery all about it. Let's be honest, the giving of the Holy Spirit in many ways is a wonderful, majestic, mysterious thing. I can imagine the disciples wondering, well, that was amazing. And their hearts were warmed with the love of God. And then they had to try and understand what God has said in the Old Testament, what God has said, what Jesus has said to them, to understand all that was going on in their lives. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And in our reading we had, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, ask the scripture, as the scripture has said, from within him will flow rivers of living water. And we've been, those of you who have been with Naomi, those of us who have been together in the Marsh Lounge, we've been thinking of as spirit as water, living water. And when Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, oops, wrong way. When he stood up and spoke in a loud voice, if anyone who's thirsty, let them come to me and drink. I wonder where you think Jesus was thinking, or what passage in the Old Testament that came to mind when Jesus said that. Well, it would have been from that wonderful passage from Ezekiel 47, where out of the temple, the streams of living water, the river of life was flowing from the temple, teeming with life. And the trees that were on the banks producing beautiful fruit for the healing of the nations. From that picture that Ezekiel was giving, that from the temple, streams of life, river of life would flow. And so Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit is given as a river of life to you and I, and to the world, to the nations. It's a beautiful painting of that passage from Ezekiel 47. Now, I've heard quite a few sermons on this, or talks on this, because as you're probably aware, that in that wonderful passage, we get a picture that the river is ankle deep, and then it goes to knee deep, and it goes to waist deep, and then it's so high that you can't actually cross it. You've got to swim into it. And I've heard many a sermon that has said to me, oh, I just want you to plunge right into the river. And I think, well, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for that, where I am at the moment. But the invitation from God to each one of us, the invitation that Jesus gives to each one of us, is to get in to the river of life. If you think only ankle deep, for all sorts of reasons, is where I'm at. Or if you think actually knee deep, I can manage. Anybody who goes waist deep, I never understand the waist deep bit, do you really? I mean, when you go swimming and you get to your waist, you think, oh, it's that sort of bit where you feel uncomfortable. Or do you want to plunge in? The invitation is for us, though, to get into the river, to know his life, to join in all that God is doing. And one of the things that I believe, as we respond to the invitation to get into the river, however deep that you want to get in it to, is that God does something beautiful in our hearts. It seems to me that I'm speaking personally, and I would imagine that many of you experience this as well, that the hardening of the arteries spiritually happens to us quite a bit. I mean, let's be honest, people can be very annoying, and we can get quite upset and angry, and people get up our noses, and our hearts can become quite hardened, or very hardened. The gift of the Spirit is to soften our hearts. Ezekiel says, I will give you a new spirit. I'll give you a new heart, and put a new spirit in you. And Jeremiah writes, I will put my law within them and I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The promise of the Holy Spirit to do something deep within us, to do something, if you like, the circumcision of our hearts, that we may be open to the love of God. In our kitchen at home, we have this painting, which is called Cultivating the Heart. It's all a bit neat and tidy for me. But I just love it, that God is in the work of cultivating our hearts to make them more open to God, more open to one another, to sort out what is going on in our hearts. So many of you will be aware that Di and I are moving in a few weeks' time. And when our house isn't looking like a wreck as it is at the moment, it's quite funny actually, if we'd had a burglary and someone came, if the police came round, they'll say, oh, I'm really sorry, they've really wrecked your house, haven't they? And I'll say, well, actually, oh yeah, they really have. Not telling them that's how it actually normally, that's how it looks at the moment. But in our bedroom, usually it's like a game of football. It's two halves. There's Di's half, which is usually ordered and relatively tidy, and there's my half, which is sort of, to be honest, is a mess. It's a mess. It's a bit of chaos, really. There are the 15 books I'm reading, and there's clothes everywhere on the chair, and it looks a bit of a mess. And I have this picture sometimes of what would you do if Jesus knocked on your front door of your heart, of your house even? What would you do? Where would you invite him? Well, I'd probably invite him into the living room, because that's the polite thing to do, or into the kitchen, and then I would invite him into the living room, and I'd be polite and say, what would you like to drink? And I'd put the kettle on while I'm in the kitchen. And while I'm out of the kitchen, in the kitchen rather, I hear that Jesus has gone up the stairs. And where has he gone? There he is, in my mess. In the places in my heart where the living water needs to soften, where the living water comes and brings new life. And the great thing about Jesus, I believe, is that he doesn't look at my mess and go, what a mess. He says, shall we have a tidy up together? Shall we work on this together? Cultivating the heart. God didn't clean you up so you could pretend you were never messy. Your testimony is someone else's hope. God didn't clean you up so you could pretend you were never messy. Your testimony is someone else's hope. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And so the Holy Spirit comes and does a beautiful, wonderful work in our hearts. And it's a process. It takes time, doesn't it? But the God of love, the God who gives generously, the God who gives his Spirit overflowingly, wants to transform our hearts so that we, you and I, can be good news to our world that we live in, to the communities we live in, to the churches that we belong to. One of the things that has always inspired me about Jesus is that after the Spirit rested on him, and those beautiful words, "You are my son with whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased," we hear that he was led into the desert by the Spirit. And then after that time in the wilderness, Luke says he comes out of the desert in the power, comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. And then he finds himself in Nazareth, where he goes to synagogue, and he says these beautiful words that have always meant a great deal, I'm sure, to many of you, and has meant a great deal to me. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Wow! Aren't they just beautiful verses? The Spirit is given to you and I so that we can join in all that Jesus wants to do for those who are broken, those who are on the edge, those who are on the margins. Some years ago, I was, looking at this photo of me, it must have been some years ago, you'll see it in a minute, I was privileged to go to the Holy Land. And we went to Nazareth. It's all part of the itinerary. And in the most beautiful and the most intimate moment of where the Holy Spirit descends upon Mary and Gabriel, of course, turns up. They've built the most incredible church. I mean, it's the size of a cathedral. It's absolutely massive. You think, why? I think, why? And then, though, just round the corner, they discovered in their digging around a first century synagogue, which may have been the synagogue where Jesus went in and said those beautiful words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And I had the privilege of going in that synagogue and reading that bit of scripture, because it's always meant so much to me. And here is me doing that. Yes, that is me. Yes. Rowan Williams writes, and when Rowan writes, it's always hard to understand sometimes, isn't he? But this I did. Rowan Williams writes, "Being with Jesus means being in the company of the people whose company Jesus seeks." Being with Jesus means being in the company of the people whose company Jesus seeks. Jesus will be found on the edges. Jackie Pullinger wrote this, and Jackie Pullinger, if you don't know who she was someone, or is someone, incredibly open to the Holy Spirit. And she went to work in Hong Kong in the 1980s in the walled city there, working with drug addicts and prostitutes, and she's still there. I think she's just turned 80 and she's still doing the stuff out there. And Di and I at that time were working with single homeless people on the edge in East London. and were very inspired by her book, and you can still get it, called Chasing the Dragon. But this is what she said. God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with so many of us is that we have hard hearts and soft feet. And she went on to say that it's the gift of the Spirit that can give us those soft hearts and hard feet to be God's beautiful good news, bringing hope. And so we have this beautiful verse that we've been looking at. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you up for an adventure? Are you up for an adventure? For it is the Holy Spirit that leads us on adventures. So often I think I just want to pitch my tent, put my tent pegs down, and just stay with there. But actually the Holy Spirit sets us up for adventure. I just want to, if I can find my quote, which I had a moment ago and now I've lost. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. Let us not camp in the place of previous running waters. One of the most vital things for all of us who are of the Spirit is to keep alert and open to the new things that God is doing. And then those things are always consistent with whom we have known him to be. God very rarely simply repeats himself. He's far too imaginative for that. The Holy Spirit sets us up for an adventure, to risky living. Next week, we're doing some hobbity things. And of course, we all know Bilbo left his house, if you know the hobbit that is, to go on an adventure. Are we willing to go on an adventure with Jesus in the power and love of the Spirit? Amen.